Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T, back with you as we journey through the workbook lessons in A Course in Miracles. And it is February 7th, and we're going to be looking at Lesson 38. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. So let's just jump right into our conversation today. Your holiness reverses all the laws of the world. It is beyond every restriction of time, space, distance, and limits of any kind. Your holiness is totally unlimited in its power because it establishes you as a son of God, at one with the mind, capital M, mind, of his creator. Through your holiness, the power of God is made manifest. Through your holiness, the power of God is made available. And there is nothing the power of God cannot do. Your holiness, then, can remove all pain, can end all sorrow, and can solve all problems. It can do so in connection with yourself and with anyone else. It is equal in its power to help anyone because it is equal in its power to save anyone. If you are holy, so is everything God created. You are holy because all things He created are holy, and all things He created are holy because you are. In today's exercises, we will apply the power of your holiness to all problems, difficulties, or suffering in any form that you happen to think of in yourself or someone else. We'll make no distinctions because there are no distinctions. In the four longer practice periods, each preferably to last a full 5 minutes, repeat the idea for today, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. Close your eyes, and then search your mind for any sense of loss or unhappiness of any kind as you see it. Try to make as little distinction as possible between a situation that is difficult for you and one that is difficult for someone else. Identify the situation specifically and also the name of the person concerned. Use this form in applying the idea for today. In the situation involving such and such, in which I see myself, there is nothing that my holiness cannot do. In the situation involving blank, in which blank sees himself or herself, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. From time to time, you may want to vary this procedure and add some relevant thoughts of your own. You might like, for example, to include thoughts such as, there is nothing my holiness cannot do because the power of God lies in it. Introduce whatever variations appeal to you, but keep the exercises focused on the theme, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. The purpose of today's exercises is to begin to instill in you a sense that you have dominion over all things because of what you are. In the frequent shorter applications, apply the idea in its original form unless a specific problem concerning you or someone else arises or comes to mind. In that event, use the more specific form of application. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. Let's take a good deep breath. And let's hold a moment of silence as we reflect on today's lesson. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. And so it is. The truth, as it's being revealed to us through our brother Jesus in this amazing teaching known to the world now, certainly in spiritual circles, as A Course in Miracles, is profound. It begins now, as we're on day 38, it begins to point us back to the truth of our own power, which we've discovered as we've come through this first almost 40 days now. Have you noticed changes in your life? Have you noticed that our practice periods are becoming just a little bit more extended, just a little bit incrementally almost every day as we read a lesson? He's asking us to do just a little bit more. And really, the more that's being asked of us is to be a little bit more conscious of who and what we are. Now, in the reading today, in this lesson, he says and talks about what you are. So I want to discuss that for just a moment. Because most of us, if I asked you, you know, who you are, you might begin to share your story. What town you were born in, and what city, what state, if you will, maybe who your parents were, how many siblings you have. You begin to tell your quote-unquote life story. Depending on how much time we have, you might be able to go on for some time. Or if you feel in some bit of a rush, you might be able to truncate that down to just 3 to 5 minutes of a discussion of who you are. But notice that he talks about what you are in this lesson. What you are is a child of God. But you are also a child of your parents. So let's move beyond just that. What you are is a definition I'll share with you that comes from the work of Paul Selig's guides, who he's been channeling now, I'm going to say pretty much since the harmonic conversion is when he began to notice a shift in his awareness. He was already, even prior to that, clairaudient and clairvoyant to some extent, but had not quite stepped into his recognition of what that really meant for him until the harmonic conversion in 1987. And without getting too distracted in the events that have happened in the last 35 years or so, 40 years, and notice that almost all of the things that are just these huge milestones have occurred since A Course in Miracles was revealed to the world through Helen Schachmann's scribing of this text and this workbook and this manual for teachers. You see, if we are the creators, and I assure you that we are, children of God, how could we not be creators? Then the world as we know it, as we are experiencing it, and we've had this discussion, is really reflecting back to us our consciousness. Then how could the world not change? Of course it's changing. But it's changing because you're changing. And this impulse for change is happening on a global basis, far beyond, if you will, the recognition of most of us who are going about our regular daily lives. We certainly go through those stages of learning to exist within our families, and then learning to exist within our groups, our school structures, and then learning to survive, if you will, for the body to survive, to begin to build a lifestyle that supports what we believe we need for that survival. But moving beyond accomplishing those transitional movements into maturity and into feeling accomplished on a human level and somewhat safe, if you will, our mind begins to consider and open up and the nudge that we're getting from Spirit. And I know you've gotten the nudge from Spirit or you wouldn't be participating in the work we're doing here in A Course in Miracles today. You've specifically, indeed, have gotten that nudge, no doubt. But the what that you are that's been shared with us through the guides, as I mentioned, Paul Selig, is to simply put it this way. You and I, all of us, we are the energy of the Creator in action. Consider that for a moment. As a child of God, you are the energy of the Creator in action. The movement of the mind of God, if we could say the movement of love, is ongoing forever and ever. Amen. Continuously extending itself. And love, which never changes, is always being expressed, however, in a new way, because you are beginning to recognize yourself in love in all things. Of Course in Miracles, as he tells us in the introduction, is the purpose is to remove the obstacles, or the purpose of the curriculum, if you will, is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love. Love is always being made new. You've heard that. Nothing is static. You can take a picture of something and it looks like there it is, but if you went and looked at it even moments after you took the picture, an instant later, it's changed. It may not be perceptible immediately, but give it a few weeks or a few months or a few years or 100 years. It may have completely changed form altogether. Forests disappear or appear. The land changes. The format, structure of the vistas that we see today changes dramatically. I pointed out the other day in one of our lessons, you're never going to see the same sky twice. Where we live today, we woke up this morning to snow and a beautiful landscape covered in snow. Wasn't here yesterday. It looks like a completely different world outside my window this morning. Nothing remains the same, and neither do you. But the energy of love, the energy of the Creator in action, is you allowing that energy to be expressed through you. And love then is being made new in a new way through you. And it's unique to you as your expression, just as unique as your fingerprints are. You are absolutely unique. Everything we see is different from everything else we see. Yet everything we see is identical in the one self, the capital O, capital S, one self. I've talked about some different selves, and we'll expand on that a little bit as we continue our discussion over the next few weeks and months. But for this morning, let's talk about the spacious self. There's an aspect of you when you take a good deep breath and close your eyes and turn away the world, so to speak. Even if you have to go into a closet to do it. It's very, very valuable to you because this is where you can really begin to be in union with the spacious self, if I can use that term. We have the sleeping self, that's at night. We have the awakening, you know, human self, I'll call it that, the awake human self, I still struggle with how to identify the state of consciousness that we're in right now, in this very present moment, as a human, as an ego self, you know. But when I say ego self, it just seems kind of trite that we, because there's so many different ideas about what the ego self is, just like there's so many different ideas about what God is. But as soon as we put any kind of definition on God, of course, we've limited it. And in truth, we've limited ourselves as soon as we put any definition on what we are, because you are a miracle. You are the energy of the Creator in action, in movement. And so there is movement. And in the first lessons of A Course in Miracles, in the first chapter in the Principles of Miracles, he talks about listen, learn, and do. And the most probably difficult part of that is the first part, which is to listen. But if we listen, if we turn within, in every situation where there is, we sense that there's some response that needs to be, needs to be expressed as us, okay, in the world today, we have a choice. And for me, I look at it like, okay, am I reacting or am I responding? Because those are two, for me, this is just the language I use, for me, those are the two different ways that I can choose to express myself. In the first one, I'm reacting, and that's the ego self. And in literally in 1/10,000th of a second, it takes an impulse from the world, whatever's going on out here, and it could be a conversation with another human, it could be news on the TV or the radio or the social media or however you get your news. It could be the weather, it could be whatever, the job, whatever it could be, whatever it is. The ego has a tendency to react. And it always reacts out of defense of its positionality. And it also reacts based on whether or not it sees whatever that event is as good or bad, a threat or a welcoming, something that is true or false or whatever. And in just a fraction of a second, the process takes place and the ego adopts a position. And I call that the reaction, because the ego reacts based on its construct of a belief system. It's like we're framed in. And if you can see me now, you can see that I'm making a frame, like a picture frame. And here we are. We framed ourselves in with our positionality, with our quote-unquote opinion, with our view, with our thinking, with our meaning that we're overlaying onto quote-unquote some event. But we've already begun to have a conversation that all events are neutral, that we're giving everything all the meaning that it has. And so if I can remember that in that brief moment, before I express, I can have the thoughts, I can hear the voice of the ego mind reacting to whatever the event that I'm experiencing is showing me. But if I can in that moment, remember to take a good deep breath and listen and begin the dialogue with my higher self. Because I'm not alone. We are not alone. We've never been alone. Jesus says, I will never abandon you. I will always be with you. And this is true. Very, very true. In mind, we are all joined. And so we take a pause instead of reacting, and we join with that mind, and we now are, We have the option. And we have free will. So we can do whatever we want to. We can respond however. We can express however. But instead of reacting, we can respond with the joining of mind. Because in that instant, and of course in miracles, we call it the holy instant. And it's not an instant in time. It's really the instant when time isn't there, if you will. It's the now. Eckhart Tolle, if you've ever studied Eckhart Tolle at all, and again, I don't want to divert you from your study of the Course, at least for this first year, this year, let's give 1 year to this teaching if you're new to the Course. But Eckhart Tolle just does an amazing job of helping us to become aware of the now, to recognize, quote unquote, the present, being present, being in the now moment. So this holy instant, that's just a side note, the holy instant is here, an opportunity now to see that I have a choice. Instead of reacting, you know, instantaneously, with no regard at all, just going with what the ego has deduced in its in those blinding blink of an eye, I move a little slower here and I ask myself, is this true? Is this the appropriate response? And I'm, who am I asking that of? I'm asking that of myself, my capital S self. So I move into this spaciousness of mind that's available to me. It's always been available to me. I haven't used it and exercised it as much as I might have wanted to, or even knew that I had a choice to when I was younger, when I was young. But the point is that I know I have a choice now. So in that moment, I can say, wait a minute. I'm going to take a good deep breath. I'm going to turn within, and I'm going to open the door, the portal, the access point, and begin the dialogue and ask the question. Well, what's the truth? What is the truth? How can I be an expression of love in this situation? And I listen. That's the first part. I listen. I don't react. I listen. And you would be amazed at the voice, the self-talk. And you say, it's just me talking to me. Well, good. That's true. Well, it sounds like my voice talking to me. I've always had this self-talk. Good. That's true. Your higher self is you. The Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. What voice do you think it will have? It's your voice talking to you, self-talk. And it's always going to guide you. Again, you have free will to choose how you react or respond, or I'll say express, back to the world based on what you're seeing outside of yourself. I was standing in line the other day at a store. It was like in a little restaurant area. And I was standing in line, you just come to the counter and, you know, you get whatever and move on. And there was quite a line of people. And I want to say, you know, five people, let's say, kind of waiting in the line. And then there was this woman behind the cash register, and she was ringing people's orders up or whatever they had, you know, purchased, whatever they wanted to get. And it was kind of like a little kitchen right behind her where they were making food. And her assistant that was working there with her, he dropped this big aluminum pan, cookie sheet or whatever it was. And when it hit the deck, right, when it hit the floor, she jumped, it's like, whoa. She went up a good 6 inches, you know. She went up on the balls of her feet. And several of the people, I noticed all the people around us, almost all but I don't know if everyone did, but almost everybody reacted just immediately. There was an instantaneous reaction to the loud noise. I had no reaction. Because I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn and reinforce, that that kind of reaction is a choice. Even to a loud noise, our body doesn't do that. We make that decision in mind first, and then we react. There's absolutely a delay, and the delay is the choice we're making to react to an event. And this has been going on for a few years, and I've noticed that I can, I'll be going down this, not too long ago, my wife and I were walking down the street, and some bus came by, and we were in this little town out west, and he hit his horn for some reason, and she's like, whoa, you know, freaked out. And I gave it never mind. Not because I'm special, not because I've got bad hearing and I can't hear the noise, and none of those things. Oh no, none of those things. I've learned how to make a choice. There's a delay. Not always, depending on the event, but even noise, I'm learning how to make a decision. So I wanted to share that story with you, because what we are is the energy of the Creator in action. Your holiness then can remove all pain, can end all sorrow, and can solve all problems, and can do so in connection with yourself and with anyone else. It is equal in its power to help anyone, because it's equal in its power to save anyone. If you are holy, so is everything God created. You are holy, because all things that God created are holy, and all things He created are holy because you are, because you and God are one. And you have a choice. We've been talking about holiness now for 2 or 3 days, and I love the subject. We talked about how we can practice being a holy person today by being an incredible friend. We've had several discussions about holiness, but it's really pointing back to your divinity. If I can just add another little word here to our conversation this morning. You and God are one. So I want to leave you with a phrase that you can write down and put on your refrigerator if you'd like to. And I had it on my refrigerator for a long, long time. And it says that the Holy Spirit keeps your divinity in trust while you dabble with the ego. You and God are one. And when you let that be, you get your identity back. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with me today. I'll be back tomorrow. I love you. God bless you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send